honeymoon, Lynn and I got into our first fight. I was thinking about that because, you know, like Brianna Royce and Noah got married the other day, and I'm thinking, Lord, just help them on their honeymoon, you know. Just, you know. You know, it's just we all encounter it, and we, you know, that's why one of the reasons I just thought, as we think about Proverbs, there are so many Proverbs about dealing with relationship and conflict in particular. And so once I started going through this the last couple weeks as I was studying this out, I'm like, you know what, guys? This is going to be a two-parter. There's no way we can do this in 1 week, okay? And if I do, we're going to be ordering out for pizza, you know, if I try to do that. So let's pray and let's ask God for him to bless our time in the Word, okay? Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge that you're here with us. And we invite you, Lord, to examine our hearts today. And we, Lord, just ask and pray that you would show us as we really are and give us a hunger to be who you want us to be, Lord. And let that hunger push us towards you, that hunger for righteousness push us towards you, Lord, and to want to grow in how to deal with the relationships you've placed us in. And so much of our spiritual growth is tied to all the stuff that we go through in our relationships. And so, Lord, we just pray, Lord, help us today. Give us ears to hear, Father. Help the Word of God to go deep into our hearts today. And we just pray, Lord, that it would take root there and it would bring forth fruit in our lives, God. And Lord, let the result of this time be glorifying to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm gonna look at kind of three categories today. I'm going to talk about the art of avoiding conflict, and then we're going to talk about why it's important to resolve conflict, and then we'll see how we get from there. Okay? I'm pretty confident we can get through that, but the thing is, I just thought, you know, there are Proverbs that talk about some principles that we need to be putting into practice that will help us avoid unnecessary conflict, you know? In other words, there is something that we can do that actually would keep us from conflict. Some conflict is unavoidable because, you know, you put any two people in a room, they're going to disagree on something, right? I mean, it might be the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers, right? I mean, I'm looking over there because there might be some conflict over there on sports. But, you know, and that's a little thing. But it's saying that, you know, but there are some things that we can do to help avoid conflict. And one of the things is this, that when somebody is upset with you, respond with a gentle answer. Respond with a gentle answer. Now, where are we getting this from? You know, this is not, you know, Greg's idea here. We're talking about God's truth, okay? And so where are we getting that from? Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger, right? A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I ran across just an example of this in the Our Daily Bread, which is just a devotional, Christian devotional. It's been around for years. And this guy named Randy talks about his experience. He says, my car broke down in a tunnel during rush hour in downtown Boston. Angry drivers expressed their frustration as they struggled past me, he said. Eventually, the car was towed to a station for repairs, and later it broke down again, stranding me along Interstate at 2 a.m. Back to the shop it went, he said. Unfortunately, the repair shop also doubled as a parking lot during Red Sox baseball games. He says, when I arrived after work the next day to pick up my car, it was hemmed in by 30 other cars. So let's just say, he says, let's just say I was less than Christian-like in my initial reaction. I ranted and I raved, and then realizing it was only making them less willing to help me at the close of their business day, I decided to give up, he said. I stormed toward the glass doors and struggled to get them open. My anger increased when the station workers laughed at me And then he said, I had barely made it out when I realized how unlike Christ I'd been. Chastened, he says, I rapped on the locked doors and mouthed, I'm sorry, to the staff inside. They were stunned, he says. They let me back in, and I meekly told them that Christians shouldn't behave as I did. Minutes later, they were shifting cars to free up mine. I learned the truth that soft rather than harsh words can change my circumstances. You know, and it doesn't always come out that way. It doesn't always turn out that way. But you can be assured, right, if you just go for the jugular, it's not going to go well, right? If something happens that you don't like and we just kind of, you know, come after it, you know, in an angry way, you know, raising your volume doesn't help, okay? It really doesn't, right? I think as a parent, that's probably one of the hardest things to do is to not raise your voice, right? And so, you know, I think this principle here is really good. You know, when you encounter, you know, something that's about to break out into a conflict, if you respond just in, you know, with peace, and you can still speak truth, right? But if you speak peacefully and softly rather than harshly, and like that one verse we saw last week with, like, you know, thrust of a sword, right? So many times the conflict is averted, right? Because they're expecting you to kind of come out with both barrels, right? I remember it was about a year ago, because we had gone on vacation and I had gotten a couple substitute instructors for my classes at Columbus State, and I got back in the classroom and there was a student and she was not happy with me about something. And first of all, I'm like, I just got back from vacation. What could I possibly have done wrong, you know? And I won't go into all the details, but she had a beef, you know? And I just, I really didn't think that there was a problem. You know, I guess that was the problem. So she went over my head, man. She went to the chairman of the department and said, there's a problem here, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so what I did was I went to the, so after I got the email from the chairman, you know, then I'm like, okay, I guess we got a problem here. And so I sat down with the chairman and I said, you know, as a pastor, he knows I'm a pastor, I said, as a pastor, this is what I would do. What would you like me to do? He's like, well, that's a good idea. You do what you would do. You just be a pastor, okay? I'm like, sweet, I could do that. All right, so the thing that I did was when I got together, and we finally actually got to talk kind of one-on-one, because most of the stuff that she had done was kind of like just more third party around me. And so I just tried to listen to her concern, you know, which I think anybody would do, say, well, what really, let me try to understand what you really have a problem with. It was some policy or something like that. And so then I tried to just share with her kind of the reasoning there. But I also tried to communicate, understand it. Like, I understand how that could be frustrating to you. And so I said, I think we could probably work something out. And we did. But I think she was kind of expecting that I was just going to be boom, boom. No, that's it, man. You're out of here. You know, it's my way or the highway. So, because I was afraid it was going to escalate and just get worse, but by God's grace and, you know, this principle of just, you know, answering gently and just, you know, also just kind of saying, you know, well, maybe I am missing something here. I am human. I am fallible, right? Just a gentle answer turns away wrath, or a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Just something we need to listen to. Ray Ortland says this. He's a Bible teacher. He says, venting is the world's foolish way. Venting, okay? Intensifying conflict. Restraint is the Lord's wise way, spreading shalom, or peace, right? And the Lord's way succeeds. It might satisfy our aggressor, and it will surely safeguard us. And that's just the truth. All right, so this first principle of kind of the art of avoiding conflict is simply this, you know, and the only way we're going to be able to respond with a soft answer is, I tell you what, is if we're walking in the Spirit, right? We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to be at peace with God, and we have to be experiencing the peace of God if we're actually going to be able to react and respond in a Christ-like manner, right? And so it kind of goes back to, you know, am I regularly just filling myself up with the Word of God? Am I walking in his power, right? And if I'm doing that, more times than not, I'm going to respond in a way that is glorifying to him. Now, we're not going to do it right every time. And when we do, this guy's example was great. I mean, man, he ate his humble pie, didn't he? But he did the right thing. He's like, okay, what I just did was a terrible testimony to Jesus Christ. Okay, he went back. I mean, that's just so great. You know, when we do blow it, when we do kind of come back with a harsh word, man, we got to be quick to ask for forgiveness. Amen. We got to do that. We have to be really good at that, and we have to be good at forgiving also. And so this is important, right? A soft answer turns away wrath. Now, here's an interesting principle from Proverbs also, just in terms of the art of avoiding conflict. Pursuing a God-honoring lifestyle leads to a peacemaking lifestyle. In other words, if I pursue God with all my heart and I follow his word and I try to live his way by his power, you know what? You're really not going to have like as much conflict as somebody that's not. Okay? Now, where's that coming from? That's coming from Proverbs 16:7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a great principle. Right? He's just saying, you know, you pursue a righteous relationship with the Lord. And he said, you know what? The principle is that I will be, you know, for the most part, at peace. You know, these are principles, right? These are scriptural principles from Proverbs. And I just love that one because we often just don't think about that, but it makes sense, right? If I'm walking, again, it kind of goes back to walking in the power of the Spirit, trusting God at his word, taking him at his word, right? Then more likely than not, I'm going to be at peace in my relationships. Okay, there's a third thing here, and that is just to overlook an offense, overlook the offense, kind of just drop the matter, you know? Don't make it a big deal. And so many times, this kind of goes to, you know, if some of you that are parents, you know, you realize the phrase, you know, pick your battles, right? You got to pick your battles, you know, and this is true in any relationship, right? I mean, if we just kind of dug our heels in on every little thing we disagreed on, we're going to be fighting all the time, right? But the principle here, overlooking the offense, one example, or a couple verses here, Proverbs 19:11 says, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out. And just saying, you know, kind of just, you know, just let things, some things you just got to let roll off your back. Some things are just offenses that shouldn't be a big deal. And that's why I always. That's why I try to always to say I got to pray about this before I kind of go off on someone else, or I got to pray about this before I approach this, because it might just be me. Maybe I'm just in a place right now that I, you know, it could be anything. You know, the dog barking would make me mad. It just wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? There are things that are going on in us that we sometimes, if we pray about it, that we might realize that, you know what, it's really me, it's not them. And so I can just let it go, right? Just let it go. And now that doesn't mean everything that comes up, right, that we can just let that go. But there are little things. And so I found a couple of questions I think that would be helpful to ask yourself to say, well, is this one of those times that I should let it go? Or should I approach someone and actually engage them in conversation about the offense, right? You know, so here, and these are just a couple of thoughts here, a couple of questions asked. One question would be, did the offense create a wall between me and the other person, or cause me to feel differently towards them for more than a short period of time? You know, because sometimes when you're first kind of offended, you know, there's always that little, I don't really want to be around you right now, but you know, then, but it's not, but later it's not a big deal, you know what I mean? And so I think that's the thought, is if something bothers you initially, just give it a little time. But if it takes longer than a little time and you realize that, hey, this is really a wall between us, okay, then you need to get in there, Okay, then you need to get in there and approach the person. Another question to ask, I think, is did the offense cause serious harm to God's reputation and to others or to the offender? You know, did it harm someone else? Does it harm God's reputation? Is it, you know, and there are kind of, that's kind of, I know that's kind of subjective, okay? But, so you just kind of have to pray. I pray about it here because, you know, God doesn't give us everything that, you know, he just gives us these guidelines, right? They're like guardrails that help us make wise decisions. And so you just have to say, is this something that really is a big deal or not? So many times, though, the little things that bother us, if we just give it a day, it's oftentimes gone. But you know, if whenever you're around that person and that thing's coming up in your mind, and you don't want to even be around them or engage them in conversation because this thing's playing over in your mind, then that's definitely a clear indication that something needs to be done, right? So we've got, when someone's upset, respond with a gentle answer, right? Proverbs 15:1. Pursuing a God-honoring lifestyle leads to peacemaking lifestyle, and then overlooking an offense, and all just ways that we can actually proactively kind of avoid conflict. Conflict is averted before it even lets out, and I think that's some good. That's a good word from God here. Now we're going to show a video here in just a second, but now we're going to kind of move over into just kind of this topic of why conflict resolution is important. Like, why is... So now we're not talking about skills that we can learn to kind of avoid it in the first place, but now we're saying, hey, it's going to happen, and now why is it important not just to let them those conflicts go unresolved? Okay, so let's take a listen and watch at this. Yeah, we're all self-centered, right? It's about us, we think, and that's the problem. Right, when it comes to relationships, right? And so really the first thing when I think about, you know, why conflict resolution is important, why it's important for us to be committed to resolving conflict, is because really it's going to happen. Okay, I like Paul's thought there at the end that, you know, 10 out of 10 people are struggling with this self-centeredness of, you know, me-ness, and it's all about me and so on. And so the first thing here is just to realize, you know, why is this important? It's because it's going to happen. We're all sinners, okay? We are. I mean, it's pretty clear in Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned. So, you know, that all means all. I mean, you don't have to be a Greek scholar to know that. All means all. That's all means, okay? All. There's no exception clauses. So, you know... And by the way, he has a great book on marriage about, like, and I love the title. It's called "What Did You Expect?" Because I love it. I mean, and it's a celebration of marriage, but it's a reality check, right? You got one sinner married to another sinner. I wonder what's going to happen. Conflict is going to happen, but that is the means by which God makes us more holy. Okay, it really is. And so we need to really think about this, is that this is such an important topic, you know, that is because we're going to encounter this. We can't escape it. You've got people at work. You've got people at school you sit next to or in the lunchroom. There's those people that you hang out with family a couple times a year. You know it's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's just everywhere. Unless you live out in Wyoming in a missile silo somewhere that's abandoned, you're going to have conflict with somebody, okay? It is inevitable. And so this is important for us to realize, you know, because it's going to happen so frequently in our lives, we can either embrace it and learn how to deal with it and really, I think, experience some of the joy and growth in our lives that's going to come from that, or we can just be miserable, really be miserable, okay? People that are most miserable are the people that have conflict unresolved. You know, it's just in there and it's eating them inside, and it comes out occasionally, you know, because it's like an inner tube. You try to push it down, it's going to come up somewhere. That's the way anger is. That's the way bitterness is. And God doesn't want us to live that way, right? Remember, we're supposed to have the words of life. We learned last week, where, you know, there's death and life in the power of the tongue, right? And what we say. And so there's another reason why being committed to conflict resolution is so important. And that is this, that unresolved conflict messes up your life and those around you, okay? It messes, it's just going to mess your life up. I mean, how's that for a theological statement? It's just true. Now, why is that true? Well, here's several of the problems that come out of not resolving conflict. All right, so not resolving conflict. Well, start off, lead off with the biggie here, okay? And that is this. Unresolved conflict results in a rift in your relationship with God, okay? And we just think that we, you know, as Christians, we can just go on living our lives, having our quiet times. Meanwhile, over here, there's this unresolved conflict we've got, and God's like, mm-mm, no. That's not how this works, right? What does he say? In Matthew chapter 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, right? It's Jesus tells us, if you are offering your gift at the altar, this is worship he's talking about, right? He's saying, if you're going to worship there, and there remember your brother has something against you. I find it fascinating. It doesn't even say whose fault it was, right? It says they have something against you, but it doesn't say, like, where did it start? Was it them? Was it your fault first? You know? Doesn't even say that. He says, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, it'd be better if you didn't come to church and worked it out than to come and worship and not have it worked out. You know, I can tell you, I mean, I bet a lot of arguments have started on the way to church. Right? It might be about getting the kids ready. It might be this, that. Could be anything, right? But I think a lot of arguments and conflict come on the way to church. And it's okay to sit out there. I'm just giving you permission right now. Sit out there and start to work it out. Okay? It's okay. But God's saying it's that important. Because the horizontal relationships down here and the vertical relationship of God are tied together. Don't think that they're not, don't think that they're separate. They affect each other. And God's saying, you need to be committed, at least as far as it depends upon you, okay, that you're going to pursue peace and resolution of conflict in your relationships. All right? You want to have a good walk with God, you better be committed to resolving conflict. Amen? That's what he says right here. I'm not making this up. This is not Greg's 5 steps to happy living. No, this is the way it works. God designed you and I. He knows how it's supposed to work. Right? All right, so that's the first problem, right? And how we get messed up and those around us is the first thing is that it's going to mess up our relationship with God. There's going to be a blockage there. There's going to be a problem. Which kind of leads to the next one. And that is that unresolved conflict causes my prayer life to be ineffective. Snap. That's the problem. That's how we communicate with God. Right? Look, first one's to husbands. He says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Why? So that your prayers may not be hindered. That's powerful. If you're married, he's saying, listen, if you are not united with your spouse, if you have an unresolved conflict with your spouse, you better deal with that because it's directly affecting the communication line with God. The only prayer he's going to hear at that point is, I repent, God. I was wrong. Okay? And then, now we're okay. Okay, if it's genuine repentance, right? I'll pass this on. This was interesting. I heard Rick Warren say this one time. He said, "Here, there is a secret sentence that we should all learn how to say when it comes to conflict." Okay, And this secret sentence will oftentimes get you out of conflict. And he says, here it is. Are you ready? He said, I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. Dang, that pretty much nails every conflict I've ever been in that came from me. I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself. Right? And as a husband, I think about myself a lot. I'm growing, you know, and I have grown, and there's a lot more to go, okay? But what we need to realize, husbands, he says, our prayer life is affected by our relationship with our wives. Now, that doesn't get everybody else off the hook, because did you look at the next verse? Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished iniquity in my heart, in other words, if I had kept sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Right? You leaving conflict unresolved, as far as it depends upon you, if that's a sin. Okay? That's iniquity. All right? So if we let that go, we're sinning, and therefore, he will not hear. It affects, again, it just affects our relationship with God. Specifically here, also our prayer life. Okay? And so, these are just ways in which unresolved conflict messes up our life and those around us. I mean, we're not even talking about how it affects an entire family, right? Now let's bring it into the church. Let's bring this topic into the church. Here's another problem that results from unresolved conflict. Unresolved conflict creates problems in the church. Oh man, can you imagine being named in the Bible for having a conflict? For all to see. Here it is. Here it is, man. Paul writing to the Philippian church, he says, I entreat Yodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, someone he's writing to in this, he's saying, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. These two people who Paul says were of great use to him in ministry. They were involved in the ministry that he was doing. And they were very useful. He says, and because they had this conflict, it was actually hindering the gospel in the church. So we can't just talk about conflict resolution just kind of in general terms out there somewhere, or, you know, in your own home. No, it's right here. Right? It's right in here. And so we have to be committed to resolving this. And by the way, don't resolve it by text message. That's not going to work, okay? You know, just don't do it. Okay? I mean, you could say, "I'm sorry, can we get together?" Okay, that's fine. Okay, but that's just not right. I'm sorry. You got to get together somehow, or at least talk on the phone if you can't be present. All right? Because you and I know that so much of communication is more than just words. It's tone, it's body language, it's everything, isn't it? And I think of all the emails that I've written that have been misunderstood. Okay, I mean, it's really only good for facts, because so many other things can be misunderstood, right? You don't really get tone so much in that. So I'm just saying, you know, if you have a conflict with somebody in this church, you need to resolve in your heart today to take action, okay? As much as it depends upon you, you need to, okay? And so here we have, you know, just several examples here of why, you know, it's so important to resolve conflict and pursue a resolution and restoration in relationships. It really is. It does affect the gospel, you know. It really does. And it can really hurt a church. I mean, I don't know. I think sometimes we just don't think about that. How one little conflict can actually hinder ministry in a church. So, yeah, we better land the plane. Okay, so what we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about, we're going to give you some steps to resolving conflict, because everything's kind of been leading up to that. Right? We've been saying, listen, how can we avoid it, if possible? Scripture lays out some principles there, and then we say, well, what we just talked about now, why is it important to be committed, as much as it depends on us, to resolve conflict? And so next week what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about, say, you know, now once you decide to do something about it, what do you do? Okay? So let me pray, and then we'll worship. Okay? Heavenly Father, we are just grateful for your word. I just thank you, God, it's so practical. Every word is true and rightly understood and applied is just so powerful. And so, Lord, help us to believe the truth here that's been shared. Help us, Father, to see the importance of resolving conflict. And help us also just to practice those principles from Proverbs we saw about how we can even avoid it before it even gets started. Help us to give a gentle answer. Lord, help us to let little things go. Lord, we ask your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen.